Welcome to this week's Anglers Channel Insider Podcast, brought to you by Ranger Boats. Still building legends one at a time. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Brown and Jason Duran.
Welcome, folks, to this week's Anglers Channel Insider Podcast, brought to you by Ranger Boats, powered by Mercury Marine, shocked to life by Relion lithium batteries. This is the week of October the 14th, and I'm not here. So if you're wanting me to comment on the Santee Cooper tournament, can't do it. If you want me to comment on the Bass Champs tournament or Big Bass Tour on Douglas or any of that, can't do it. And you're asking yourself, well, Stevie, why can't you comment on them? Because it's pretty simple. I'm not here. We're recording this basically a week early because somebody's taking vacation next week, me. And I asked my wife what she wants. We do this every year for anniversary. Usually we go on a cruise, right? We do the cruise. We can unplug. I'm gone. It's perfect. I'm out. And it works great. But thank you, COVID, and all that shit, that I can't do that this year. So my wife says, well, we're going to go to California. We're going to cruise out of California, right? Cruises got canceled for the month of October and pretty much the rest of the year. And so we already had flights to L.A. So I thought, well, let's just go to California, and we'll take a week and go up the coast and maybe go to Pebble and play a little golf, and we'll just take that money we're going to spend on the cruise. And we'll do something in California. And then you got wildfires, and then you got assholes, and then you got all kinds of shit. So we're like, you know what? We just took our credit from Southwest and said, you know what? We'll fly again sometime soon. My wife says, let's just go to the beach. So what turned into a wonderful, wonderful getaway
relaxing for
my wife and I, an unplugged, relaxing getaway for 7 days, has now turned into me, my wife, my six-month-old chocolate lab, and my two elderly in-laws that are going to be joining us at the beach. So we're headed to the beach. Oh, and Hurricane Delta's coming. So if you listen to this, hopefully I survived. I'm sure
hopefully you are there. Yeah,
we're not doing hopefully I am there. But I asked my wife what she wanted for her 6-year anniversary, and she says, you with no phone. And I said, done. And her next sentence will surprise you. Oh, maybe. Those of you that know her, it won't surprise you. She said, because in those 7 days, if I see you with your phone, I'm probably going to lose my shit. And that was her exact, that's an exact quote. So I'm not here. I'm out. And we are gone.
Can we text her next week?
You can.
Or this week?
She probably won't answer.
Just to check on you?
And you can probably text me, but just know that I'm not going to answer until I get back on the 19th.
She'll be answering.
Yeah. On the 19th, I'll answer. My phone will be turned off. I will call from probably her phone to check on the kids a time or two, but I will not be checking email. I will not be checking voicemail. I will not be checking text messages. So if you're trying to get me, I mean, hell, I've already passed the buck to David 3 times today. So, I mean, if you're trying to get me, I ain't here. So we're going to go ahead with this show because, we can't skip a week because I've done that too many times. It's kind of like school. You know, you can't miss so many days of class. I've missed too many weeks of podcasts, I reckon. So we got to go ahead and do it. But and I'm not going to be the guy, right? I'm not going to be the guy that takes all of his shit and records a podcast while he's on vacation. I love you guys. I do. I love our listeners, our thousands and thousands of listeners. I love you guys. Love all our fans, our commenters, our viewers, our posters, our listeners, everybody. I love you. My wife asked for me to be unplugged for 7 days. By God, I'm unplugging. Okay. I got me like 2 books to read. I got a good pillow. I'm going to sleep a lot. I'm going to read a lot. And I'm going to try to train a damn dog. It's probably what I'm going to end up doing, right? Is try to keep her, you know, keep her busy. But anyway, no offense to anybody out there that does podcasts on vacation. I ain't doing it. CB's out. So But we got a busy week down there, and then when we come back, it's going to get real busy. So we're going to go ahead. I had lined this up. We called Frank Talley after his win at Guntersville, and I said, dude, I got to have you on Tuesday night. And he said, dude, I can't do it. He said, Bass University has already got me. I'm tied up. And I'm like, Bass who? No,
yeah.
Cancel that. You're on our show. He's like, I can't do it on Tuesday, but I can do it on Wednesday. So we're going to talk to Frank the Tank about his win on Guntersville. We're not going to ask him about Santee, because if you're listening to this, it's already happened, right? So we could probably ask him about Chick, but we're not going to do that either. So we're going to look to Frank about Guntersville and find out. So we'll publish this on a regularly published schedule. Regularly scheduled broadcast, David. There you go, and then we'll figure it out from there. So that's kind of what's going on, Jason. I know you are. Let me back up. I had a guy comment on our Bluetooth thing, and he said our Bluetooth conversation. He said, and this is from where'd he go? I had his name. Where'd he go? It's Paducah Dave. Is who it is. Paducah Dave says, "Don't be hating on vehicle Bluetooth conversations." Dave, I ain't hating on vehicle Bluetooth conversations. I'm hating on people that do them outside their vehicle, right? He said, I do conference calls that way sometimes. And I reply like outside of the car. And he says, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Drive-thrus, gas stations, et cetera. Paducah Dave, you're the man. If you're truly in Paducah, I will not come see you in Paducah. I will just keep my windows rolled up, my phone conversations to myself, and we will go from there. I mean, it's just. It is what it is, right? I'm on the phone today. I was flipping through TikTok looking for something, and all of a sudden the phone rings. And so my phone has decided to play TikTok in one ear of my AirPods and the phone call in the other ear of my AirPods. You know how hard that is? That's tough. That's really tough. So especially when you're talking to Miss Kay from the ABT. So I had to tell her to hang
on
a second.
You can't tell which is TikTok and which is her.
Well, I had to get rid of TikTok so I could talk to her. But speaking of – Jason, I know you're a big TikToker. I know you're big on TikTok, and you spend a lot of time falling asleep on TikTok. Have you seen – I saw this guy in my For You page. Why, I don't know. The Michael Myers of Decatur. Have you seen this? You know, it's Halloween. He's also on Facebook, for those of you that are not on TikTok. Michael Myers of Decatur. And my immediate thought goes to Decatur, Alabama, right?
Yeah.
It's a dude who dresses up like Michael Myers from Friday the 13th. Isn't that right, David? Friday the
13th? Halloween.
Huh? Halloween. Okay. I'm not a horror.
They're the same movie to me. They're scary. I don't watch it.
I don't watch it. You know, October for me is fun fall fishing. October for me, like my neighbors across
and
the road.
And pumpkin Twinkies.
Pumpkin spice Twinkies. My neighbors across the street, 256-535-3217. My neighbors across the street, they put up all of this Halloween stuff, right? And I'm like, I can't tell the Halloween shit from the rest of your shit. It's in New York. But then it got dark. Then it got dark, right? And I'm laying in bed at like 8:45 because I'm old. I go to bed early. And I hear this from across the street. I'm like, are you shitting me? Seriously? Are you kidding me?
Turn that crap off.
It's October the freaking 7th at this point, right? So they got all the little Halloween deals going, all the stuff. And the dog's like, what was that? You know, and we walk by the house, you know, on our walks, the dog barks. I'm like, just bark away, baby. Just let him have it. It's hilarious. So I love that. That's good times. I'm not a Halloween guy. I'm not, you know, my kids go trick-or-treating. I steal the Tootsie Rolls. I'll let them have the rest. Maybe some Smarties. I don't know. Dave, what's your favorite Halloween candy? What do you steal from your kids?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. The big ones or the little.
Doesn't matter. Either one.
Jason, what about you?
Oh, the fun size Snickers.
I bet the campground is going to have some fun come Halloween.
I hope so.
I bet the campground's going to be rocking.
I'll have my candy ready to give out if anybody wants to come by.
So I was going to. At one time, we used to have some neighbors. They're not here anymore, but we used to have some neighbors that they would see the trucks and cars and boats in the driveway and things coming and going. And they were on the PTA board with some friends of ours, and they were here for a meeting like down the street one night. And one of them thought we were drug dealers because of all the cars we had, right? Because my wife had an older Mercedes convertible that didn't run. We had it in the driveway. I had my truck and a bass boat, and we had a ski boat every time to time. My wife drives a older BMW SUV, so all this stuff was coming and going, right? So they thought we were, yeah. They made that comment to our friend. They thought we were drug dealers. So one year for Halloween, I so badly wanted to just pour sugar in like little Ziploc bags and just hand them out, yeah. But I didn't do it.
There you go.
I'm not going to do that. So I digress. But I'm with you, David. I'm a big Tootsie Roll guy, but I won't pass up peanut butter cup. You know, I'll do that, and that'll be good. It's not my deal. October for me is fun fall fishing. It ain't Halloween. It's not my jam. So anyway, this Mike Myers of Decatur. You got to check it out. It's hilarious. He's on Facebook too. Like the most recent one that they put up of him, he was walking around a cornfield, like a cornfield that had been cut, right? Like down the side of the road in a cornfield, just walking, got his mask on, his coveralls, whole nine yards. And his wife sneaks and like realizes it's him. Like the kids, like he's got merchandise even. He's got 215,000 people that follow this page. But like he pops up outside of windows. He was on like a terrace of a building. You just got to check it. It's hilarious. I mean, he's just, it's pretty comical. And he doesn't say anything. His wife is what's funny because she's like, just, you have to watch it. But it's Decatur, Indiana kind of thing. You know, now that I see it, it's Decatur, Indiana. So Kenneth's off the hook. It looked like Kenneth for a second, you know, pretty pale, tall. But sorry, buddy. Love her, kind of. So, but anyway, so that you got to check that out. So big show tonight. Frank the Tank Tally. Going to be on, talk about his win on Gunnersville and talk to him about that. And made a pretty good jump in points as well. And, of course, points ball changed now because it's now the week of Chickamauga. Santee's over. I don't know. It's supposed to be over for me anyway, for y'all. But we're early. So, I mean, you just have to just bear with us. And we'll go from there. Anything exciting happening for you guys in the last 24 hours since we talked? I mean, Jason, you still building boats?
Still building boats every day.
Okay. I'd ask you how the Phoenix Boats picnic party was, but it hadn't happened yet.
I haven't had it yet.
As of this,
it's going to rain. We know it's going to rain, but we got a plant deal, so it's going to be cool.
You'll be good. David, how about you? You good up there? Any snow yet? It's been 24 hours.
No, we had a cold front. For our listeners, I guess I'm speaking, it might be kind of confusing. We had a cold front, warm fronts coming in, I guess you could say. So it looks like 70 today. Oh, it's actually pretty warm, but no, nothing. Nothing.
Jason, what's the over under it snows by the time the next actual real podcast goes live for AC Insider?
I think there's a great, what's y'all's nightly temperatures right now, David?
Well, it's here. So the last, since it's warm for people, maybe low 40, but then it's gotten down into like the mid 30s lately.
Oh, wait.
Getting close.
Oh, yeah. Y'all, by the end of, getting close. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Hell with
yeah,
that. It can snow with your, it's your little campground there, Jason, so you never can tell. So you never can tell. We're going to take a quick little break. One quick little break. When we come back, we'll welcome in Frank the Tank to talk about Strike King Lewis Pro, Hummingbird Pro, Frank the Tank, Mercury Pro, Frank the Tank. How about that? Get them all the plugs in there. Frank the Tank to talk about his win on Gunnersville. And then, since we're still early, David doesn't have any bass wrap-ups to do. We'll have to double them up on the next show. But Jason will bring us a Costa Countdown to blast off, and we'll be rocking and rolling. So I thought we'd like more Angler's Channel Insider Podcast.
With so many exclusive designs and processes, no other boat is built like Ranger. It's a dramatic difference that consistently raises the bar of excellence while delivering more features, more performance, and the best value. The Ranger Fisherman Series. From bow to stern, this is results-based engineering at its best.
Still building legends, one at a time.
At Mercury, there are no limits to the lengths we'll go to make sure you have no limits either. Unlimited adrenaline. Unlimited fun. Unlimited weekend. Except maybe having to go home eventually. Introducing the all-new V8 Mercury Pro XS. Light, quick, efficient. Mercury, go boldly.
Welcome back, folks. Angler's Channel Insider Podcast. I'm brought to you by our friends at Strike King Lure Company. Lures, rods, and reels. Products made for winners. Speaking of winners, excited to welcome in your 2020 Bassmaster Elite Series champ from Gunnersville, Mr. Frank the Tank Tally. Frank, that has got to sound good still, even a few days after your win.
Yes, it's still surreal. You know, it still hasn't sunk in completely because I've been, just hammering down. Went from Gunnersville to, you know, drove to South Carolina, then started practice the next day, and so just haven't had a chance to really let it soak in. And I don't have any plans on letting it soak in until after I get off this three tournament swing. So, you know, but yeah, awesome. And the good thing about it is it's forever.
How big was the party in Scottsboro on Saturday night?
Actually, it was pretty wild. We had probably about 25 anglers over there at an Airbnb house. I went and ate some, took my family and some friends to sushi, and drank some old sake, and we let our hair down just a little bit for a few hours.
Frank, yes. You're from Texas, and you come to Alabama to eat sushi? Dude, sushi? We're not known for our sushi here in Alabama, buddy. I'm sorry.
Hey, it was a borderline call. It was a judgment call, you know? We had to go ahead and make a decision on what we were going to do, and I damn sure didn't feel like eating Jack's.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That's awesome. Well, it was great to see. I was watching live that morning, and I mean, your final day looked incredible, and then to have your family there on stage, I know that was special to you.
Yes, sir. That was the icing on the cake. I mean, if you know, me and my wife had always talked about it, and we were both in agreement. And I know it sounds, you know, cliche or even somewhat of a lie, but it's the truth. I said, I'll take that blue trophy over that 100,000 any day. And that's the truth. That blue trophy, that money spends, that blue trophy will never leave my mantle at home.
That's exactly right. And what's funny is we've talked to guys that have posted pictures of their trophies out in their garage. I'm like, dude, put that thing in the house. I mean, if I had wanted to be in the house front and center on my mantle, I guarantee it. So, but
yes, sir.
Well, let's recap this deal. Day one, you ended up with 14-3 in 22nd place, and day two, a little better day, 16-5, had you in ninth, just you know about 3 pounds back of the leader, and then day three, kind of you know you still jump you lower weight, but moved up a little more to sixth place. So that final day, you were what, about 3 pounds back? Right at 3 pounds back, I believe.
Actually, four
pounds.
A little hair over four.
Wow.
Back from West Logan, and you know, Wes is a good friend of mine. You know, I've kind of taken him under my wing. He's about the age of my oldest daughter, and so you know, he's a great kid and a heck of a fisherman. And I, you know, I knew that I was going to have a good sack too. On that final day, I was thinking more like 19 and a half or 20, because I figured even if he had, you know, a so-so day, he was going to put up 15 or 16, because heck, he's been catching them all week, you know? Right. And so I figured I needed at least 19 and a half or 20 to even make a run at it. And, you know, luckily, you know, it's unfortunate for him and Randy Sullivan that they fell a little short, and I ended up, you know, catching a little over 18 and sealing the deal. But I wasn't sure what was going to happen until they laid that final bag on the weigh scale and Trick called the weight. And then, you know, it was like, oh my God, this really did happen.
Well, talk about that final day, because we had a little fog delay, and then you went on a tear once you got up there, out there on the water, didn't you?
Yes, sir. What had happened is, like you said, we had a fog delay. And then, while I was running up the river, I had a section of river I was fishing that was probably about 15 or 18 miles long. I would stop, fish a quarter to a half mile of it, and then I would you know, fire the motor up, move up a quarter mile and reef, and then continue to fish. And sometimes you'd run into them quick, and sometimes it would take 20 or 30 minutes to finally run into them. But what had happened is that last morning I had been driving past this stretch, coming and going for all 3 days of the tournament, you know, going up there and then coming back to weigh in. And it just looked right. The shoreline and everything looked right, like what I've been catching them on. And I noticed that for 3 straight days, there wasn't a single boat, whether it was another competitor or a local fisherman there. So I was like, you know what? This thing isn't getting any kind of pressure. It's not getting pounded. So, you know, what the heck? So I drove past it and I just made the old, the Gunnersville U-turn, as they call it. And I pulled up on the point. The very first cast, I caught a 10 incher. And then about 5 or 6 casts later, I caught that 5.11.
Wow.
And within about 35 or 40 minutes, I had a limit. And then the sixth fish that I caught was a 4.5 at the, and that culled out a small one. So like realistically, even with the fog delay and stuff, by 8:30, 8:45 in the morning, I had 90% of my weight. I did cull one good one. I culled with like a 3.5 or 3.75 towards the end of the day, throwing a frog up farther up the river. But other than that, it was all done on that one stretch of shoreline. And I did catch some, I think I caught 19 keepers that day. So I did catch some keepers, but a lot of them would just, I'd look at them, oh, 2 pounder, 2.25. I'd just throw it back. I wouldn't even bother going to the live well. And even if I had, you know, something that 2.25 could replace, I probably wouldn't even have done it, because I just had in my mind I needed that 19 or 20 pounds. So I wasn't going to even, you know, cull a 2 pounder for a 2.25. And I know that sounds weird, but, you know, I wasn't fishing for second place. You know what I mean? My sure. points were locked up basically for the angler of the year points. I couldn't move much one way or the other. So it wasn't about points on that last day. It was just all about the win.
I got you. Now, was there ever a time in the day? I mean, I know photographers came and went, camera boats and everything else. Was there ever a time or a point in the day where you thought, man, I might actually have this?
Yeah, when I actually stuck that last fish around 1:30, that 3.5 pounder, and it culled up like over a pound, I thought to myself for a second, I'm like, I might have just done something here. But then again, I kept telling myself, don't get lax, don't get you know, complacent, just keep firing and try to catch you a 4 pounder. And I knew if I could catch a 4, then it would be all over. You know what I mean? I just sure. knew, because it was a lot tougher for, not for me. I still caught the numbers, and I actually, you know, I caught the biggest limit I had caught in all 4 days that day, but I just sensed that it was going to be tougher, because they had a Spro tournament there that was 300 boats roughly. Right. And so those guys were up and down the river, and of course they can only throw a frog, but it was a lot of boat traffic. There's a lot, you know, down on the lake, and a lot of those guys were relying on mats and stuff like that. So I figured the local, that big tournament was going to end up hindering them a lot. So I just like, maybe I only need like 18 or 19 pounds. And I only thought I had 17, you know. I didn't weigh any of my fish. I just, you know, eyed them, and I thought I had like 17 and a quarter. So, you know, when I had 18 and a quarter, I was, you know, a pound off. So that was exciting. You know, to answer your question. Yeah. After that last fish, I thought I had might had a chance, but then I just kept telling myself, fish through it and try to catch another one.
Well, what's funny was watching Bassmaster Live, Davey Height, Tommy Sanders said, you know, he's probably around that 16.5 to 17 pound mark. And Zona, who wasn't in the studio or at Gunnerville, he was at home. He corrected them and he said, guys, he's closer to 18, maybe 18.5. Y'all aren't paying enough attention. And, of course, everybody else was weighing their fish, but you weren't. So, you know, Zona kind of had you pegged on that one. And sure enough, I mean, it was, you know, 18-2 for a 64-pound, 3-ounce win. And, dude, I mean, that was just incredible. Before we get into debates, I got to ask this question, because, I mean, Gunnersville's my home lake. I was out there for a couple of days shooting photos and doing things around there, but – my wife made the comment, because we were watching live, and she said, the lake looks funny when they show, they kind of show everybody kind of spread out, right, with the GPS and where everybody is. And like the main lake didn't have anybody, but a bunch of y'all were up the river. What made you venture up the river versus the standard Gunnersville and the grass and everything else back down the lake?
Well, 3 days of, well, actually 2.5 days of like horrible practice. Like the first day I caught 3 fish all day of practice. The second day I caught 1. And then the third day I had 1 with about 2 hours left. So it taken me 3 days basically to catch a limit of fish in practice. And I'm like, this isn't going to cut it. You know, I need to find something. It was about 4 o'clock and I ran up into the river because current has bailed me out in the past. So, you know, I'm like, if you can't get bit down lake, go up where the current's the heaviest and right. See if you can get something going. And I went up there about 4 o'clock and I think I had to get off the water roughly around 6. So I had 2 hours and I had 3 bites, 2 3-pounders, and then like just a squeaker keeper. And so I really didn't know what I had stumbled upon yet, you know, until the first day of the tournament. But at least gave me confidence that, hey, you know, I caught them. You know, how I had caught them, there was a lot of that in the river. And I don't know if you wanted me to get into that, you know, how I, what I was catching them off of. But,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I seen that I had that and a lot of it. So I'm like, you know, tomorrow morning, I'm just going to run a pattern and see if this will pan out. And it did. The first day I like caught 9 keepers. So I was like, okay. And every day kept getting better and better. Like every day I'd catch 2 or 3 more keepers. And then by the last day, I think I had like 19 keepers.
Wow. So talk about, you know, your baits and talk about, you know, how you're, you know, what you were catching them off of, because I mean, you couldn't have asked for better weather last week. I mean, it was Chamber of Commerce weather. It seemed like all week long.
Oh, it was gorgeous. And for the fans that came out, they're like, oh, these guys have it easy, these professional fishermen. They should have seen it, you know, 2 weeks earlier when, you know, I'm from Texas and it was 105 degrees and a 90% humidity, you know. And so then we had that little bit of cold snap and, you know, it was just gorgeous, gorgeous weather. And, but what I was throwing was, first off, what I was fishing was it was an eelgrass. The whole river is lined with eelgrass and I know, you know, cause you've been on that lake a bunch, but up in the river, that whole, both sides of the river have eelgrass and it starts at the bank and it tapers out about a foot under the water for about 15 or 20 feet. And then it literally falls straight down into the creek channel, to the river channel. So it makes a wall, a natural wall, you know, all the way, you know, from the, Homer Bridge all the way up to Nickajack Dam. Right. And so what I did is I just stayed on that edge and fished parallel to that edge against the current, you know, so I was presenting my bait, you know, properly. And what those fish were doing is they were sitting in the edge of that eelgrass using it as a current break. And then there was bait, whether it be perch, I seen thread fins, and then I've seen lots of schools of like 6 and 8 inch gizzard shad moving in and out of that eelgrass. And so those fish just set up on that wall of that eelgrass. And when something would come by, they would just shoot out there real quick, grab it, and then head back in the eelgrass. Because like you could tell the fish that I caught, every one of them was butterballs. I mean, they were fat, healthy, unlike the fish from down in the lake. Those fish were long, skinny, a lot of them beat up. Right. These fish acted, you know, looked like they had never seen a lure or been hooked. There was no hook marks in their mouth. They were gorgeous fish. So I knew I was fishing like a lot of untapped fish that hadn't seen a lot of baits, you know, because a lot of the locals up in the river, they'll go into the, you know, Town Creek or Mud Creek and that type of stuff, but they won't fish the actual main river.
Yeah, I can't think. I've been here for a number of years. I can't think. I've always gone into town, gone into mud. I've never gone out and fished the main river, and it makes perfect sense. So it was interesting to see so many guys up there. But I mean, after seeing your weight, it certainly made sense. Talk about your baits and what you're catching them on.
Okay. I had a 1-2 punch. The first one was what caught like 95% of my total weight. And that was a Strike King Thunder Cricket half ounce green pumpkin. And, with a Rage Swimmer green pumpkin with white pearl belly as a trailer. And then when I run out of those, I went to a Blade Minnow, green pumpkin Strike King Blade Minnow.
Okay.
That was my like bread and butter. I mean, I caught, like I said, 95% of the fish I caught on that. And then in the afternoon I had a little frog giddy up that I would do. I'd run up farther up the river, and there was about a mile stretch of, what's called, pond weed. I call it duckweed, but yeah, it's not the duckweed that you think of from up north, the little, you know, green pea stuff floating. Its technical name is American pond weed. And what it is, it's got leaves on it and it lays over on top of the surface. And, I would throw a frog in that in the current. And, I would only get one or two, bites doing that for the last 2 hours of the day, but they were always 4+ pound fish. I caught a 5 one day, several, you know, like a 4.5 on the third day and a 4 back to back. And then I only caught a 3.5 the third day doing it, but I think it was pretty much tapped out. It was only about a mile long stretch, and I would try to save it. I'd fish a quarter mile of it the first day, a quarter mile of it the second day, you know what I mean? Until sure. I was, by the last day, I'd finished up with it.
I got you. Jason?
Hey, Frank, you know, this year has pushed you guys into the fall a lot. So tell me a little bit about how you adjusted to fall fishing. I mean, how much do you prefer the tournaments being in the fall now? I mean, you guys are on a 3-week stint right now, so you're probably thinking, gosh, it's really beating me to death. But how are you liking this fall tournament time?
I love fall fishing, and you know, I'm a big time deer hunter also, but you know what, I always seem to make time to fish, you know, every year in the fall. And I call them grinder tournaments because it usually you're throwing, you know, 7 different baits to get 5 bites, you know what I mean? You're just mm-hmm. constantly rotating through. You know, the biggest thing in fall fishing is it changes daily depending on what the weather's doing and the forage migration, you know, where the shad are. That's the main thing and the only thing really on a bass's mind is how's he going to find food that day, because he knows the cold weather's coming, excuse me, and he's got to fatten up for the winter, you know, to make it through the winter. And so that's the big thing is, you know, the shad migration. If you find the shad, the bass are going to be, you know, close behind them. But I do love the fall fishing. I mean, it's not easy, but it is rewarding when you do find a needle in the haystack. You know, you can have it all to yourself, kind of like it was, you know, I like you said, I had some competitors mm-hmm. up there, but they weren't doing what I was doing.
Right.
And talk us a little bit about, you know, back-to-back tournaments now, and winning one makes you work even harder because you have to do podcasts like this. But you know, how you strap for time now, back-to-back-to-back tournaments, and you know, it's not easy.
No, it's not. You know, but I enjoy doing podcasts, you know, like Angler's Channel, no doubt. I mean, it's a way for the fans to, you know, to get to know me and stuff like that, and learn maybe a little bit of something about, you know, how to fish Gunnersville, say, you know. But yeah, I've been blessed this actual three tournament swing because my son, he's a senior in high school, and so he's traveling with me because of his school shut down with the virus. So they're doing all their learning online. So his senior year spent on the computer doing Zoom, so he can travel with me. And so that makes it nice. Usually I travel by myself, and then I room with Brad Watley, another Elite Series pro that, and so we room together. But it's nice to have my son. What I'm getting at is he helps out a lot. I mean, he'll put the ice in the boat, put the battery, you know, the charger on when we come in, he'll strap the boat down. All I have to really worry about is my rods and organizing tackle and that type of stuff. When I normally have to do, you know, driving to and from and figuring out, you know, cooking dinner or whatever. He's already had dinner cooked when he picks me up from the ramp. And so it's been a blessing. And so that's really how I've been getting through it. But if it wasn't for him, and it'd be even later nights. I don't think I've been to bed any earlier than about 11:30 every night. And then I'm up at 4 in the morning. So it hasn't been much sleep, but I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm good with it.
You know, a lot of guys, if you haven't read the article on Bassmaster, you know, you and Brad, y'all room together normally, you know, and you guys helped each other out a lot in this event right here. And, you know, kudos to you for getting up in the morning and going and helping him. But, you know, we'll call it fate. We'll call it whatever we want to help. It turned around and paid off for you as well. So break that story down just a little bit.
The at the Gunnersville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My boat had broken down, on day three of the tournament. And, so I had called him, it wouldn't fire the, shift actuator went out in the motor. So basically it was a computer telling the other computer that it was in gear so it wouldn't crank over. So I quickly called Brad and said, "Hey, can you bring me your boat?" And he was eating breakfast with Chris Groh, and they were just having their day off. And I said, "Man, can you bring me a boat? Don't bring any graphs on it so you don't have to race your waypoints, because that's one of the rules. You can't have anybody's waypoints, you know." So I said, "Just take your graphs off. I don't need them. And can you bring me your boat, please?" And he's like, "Of course." Well, he brings it out to me, and it takes, you know, all this takes about an hour to do. And that's super fast, because he drove it all the way up to Mud Creek and then launched it there and then brought it up to me and then took my boat back, him and Chris Groh. So, but while I was waiting for him, I mean, all I could do is fish down the bank, you know, with my trolling motor. And while I was waiting for him, I ended up catching 2-3 pounders on the third day, just waiting on him. So I was like, you know, it was meant to be kind of deal. You know, it was just God saying, "Dude, you're going to win this thing, and I'm going to make sure of it." Because I mean, that doesn't happen. You know, you're sitting there with a broke outboard and you're just fishing up a bank that you've never fished before, and you catch 2-3 pounders. So right. That was just a blessing, no doubt. And, I told, you know, me and Brad share information. We don't share waypoints, but we share, you know, kind of what the fish are doing and all that. And, you know, I told him, "Hey, Brad, you know, this is what's going on." He went up there and he caught him too, you know, and he, if it wasn't just for one bad first day, he would have made the cut no problem, because he came back and caught him good that second day. But that was, you know, that was returning the favor, because to go back to St. Lawrence, his boat broke down on the fourth day. He made the fourth day cut, and his boat broke down, and I ended up, he called me, and I was bringing my boat out there, but then it ended up being Lee Livesey brought his boat instead, because we're all rooming together. But bottom line is, he got a hold of me, because he's like, "You're the only dude that's going to be up at that time of the morning. The rest of the guys, they like to sleep in when they don't make the cut." So we brought him a boat, and that favor, you know, he returned it 2 months later. So it was kind of a cool deal.
It's funny how that works.
Yes, sir. It's, you know, we're just a big family. Like I had said on stage, you know, we're fierce competitors. You know, we like to win against each other. And I'm talking about for the whole Elite Series field. But when it comes down to it, I mean, anybody will help anybody out there. And that's the way it should be. It's a brotherhood, even though, you know, we have our differences sometimes. And like I said, come tournament time, it's try to kick each other's teeth in. But in the same sense, if somebody's in need or in trouble, everybody's the first to step up to help.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. David?
Speaking of Brad, I mean, you end up beating Brad in the 2018 Central Opens to take the Central Opens that year to qualify for the Elites. But tell us how the last 20 months has been for you fishing at on the Elite level, especially since, you know, you win your first year fishing the Opens and then going from there to the Elites.
Yes, in 18, I decided, you know, to fish the Opens, that was the year that they had like a five tournament schedule, and the fifth tournament being if you qualified you could fish the fifth tournament at Table Rock. They took the top 10 out of each division, if I remember right. And then the four winners from each division too. So that made 28 guys. And, so we had, fished that, and, me and Brad, I think Brad was leading, or I was leading by very few. Brad came back. It came down to the last day of the tournament, and he had missed the cut by 1 ounce and I think one place, and that was, and so that kind of sealed the fate on that. And then ever since then, we went to the Classic together, and we got to experience Knoxville together, and we just slowly have become friends. And then we moved into, I moved into the Elite Series along with him. And then I had a dismal year last year. 2019 was not my year. I had a horrible year. Didn't catch them at all. The last tournament was the only highlight of my whole year. And that was a 13th place at 10 killer. And that was a fall tournament because they had moved it back because of the cancellation of Fort Gibson of the high water. So that was a fall tournament. And, you know, I just had a horrible year. I went from a great year in 18 to a horrible year in 19. And then so far a good year in 2020. And it's just been a roller coaster ride, but in the same sense, I'm learning every day. A lot of these lakes that I've never seen before until, you know, we set foot on them for practice. And so I'm just trying to gain as much information and learn as much as we can on them. But the bottom line is a fish is a fish. So what I mean by that is, you know, you can catch those fish the same way you can catch them in Texas as you can catch them in South Carolina and vice versa, or, you know, New York, wherever it might be. It's, you know, it's not rocket science. It's just going out and finding where the fish are at that particular event. And that's what it boils down to. It's not about, you know, you have to change all your tactics up because you're going up to St. Clair or, you know, Champlain versus you're fishing Toledo Bend or Rayburn or St. John's River. Like I said, a fish is a fish, and, you know, you can catch them all the same way if you put your mind to it. You just got to find out where they live.
Absolutely. Frank, let me ask you this. Talk a little bit about your electronics. Did they play a big factor in this event?
On my electronics, I'm one of the guys that runs two different brands. I run a Hummingbirds in the back for my mapping and my side and down imaging.
Okay.
And then in my front, I run a Hummingbird for just 2D and mapping. And then I run a Garmin LiveScope for my, out in front of me graph, you know? And so it helped me a lot picking up the edges of the eelgrass and seeing where there was like little points that it made under the water to where it would be a current break where the fish might be sitting behind. You know, it definitely has helped me. I don't use it as much like a lot of the guys do to see the fish on it and stuff like that. I use it more for exactly what I was talking about, like seeing grass clumps, especially when you're on grass lake like Gunnersville. Out in front of you 40 or 50 yards, you can see a clump of milfoil out ahead of you, and you can cast your, you know, a chatterbait or a trap across it or whatever you're throwing that you want to throw. And you can see that way ahead of time. And, you know, sometimes you can see fish around it, but I'm really not using it as for the fishing, the fish availability of it. I use it more for seeing a brush pile, a rock, you know, a boulder, a clump of grass, that type of stuff. That's how I utilize it more. Because I'm just, you know, I'm a shallow water guy. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I can see fish shallow with it, but I use it more for objects and structure and cover.
I got you. Good deal. Guys, anything else for Frank? No?
I'm good.
Sure, I got one. So, you know, us saying, being a fisherman, we don't get, well, people don't probably have the best diets out there for, you know, whatever reason, but is there a certain place that you've been to traveling throughout the country fishing that you want to go, like that you had the best food at? You know, what's the favorite dish or what's your
if you say sushi in Alabama, Frank, I'm calling BS. So
They don't call me the tank for nothing. You know what I mean? I don't miss meals, but when I am on the road, I really do try to eat healthier. I don't try to eat any fried foods, you know, while I'm on the road. Don't get me wrong. I'll indulge in a bucket of chicken faster than a man can, you know, kick a rock. But the bottom line is, you know, when I'm out on the road, I try to drink as much water as I can, not eat any fried food, and try to just keep hydrated. And, you know, for a big guy like me, I really don't have any aches or pains, you know? So, I mean, I've been blessed as far as good health and being 45 years old and a big heavy guy, it has just not caught up with me. I was, you know, I played sports in high school and football and baseball, and, you know, I've just always been active and stuff. So I've carried my weight, but I am, like, since last year's Elite Series, I've dropped about 100 pounds. So, I mean, and I'm still a big guy, but, you know, it just hasn't taken its toll on me. I feel great. You know, I feel like I'm 20 again, you know, just because losing some of that weight, and then just the sheer adrenaline of being, you know, fishing for a living and being able to compete at this high of a level. It's just, you know, that's what I wake up dreaming of. And, you know, I get excited just to get up in the mornings, you know? And so, but if I can catch a salad on the road, like Jason's Deli, I'm going to tell you, they make a heck of a salad, you know, salad bar. But with all the COVID stuff, you just really don't get to do any of that freestyle buffing, you know, buffets.
So, freestyle buffing. I like that.
Freestyle buffing.
Yeah, like freestyle that. Buffet. So, you know, but yeah, a good salad, especially when it's hot outside, there's nothing better than that. We eat a lot of, for dinner, a lot of sandwiches, just lunch meat sandwiches and stuff like that. You know, nothing crazy. Like, I'm looking over here to my right, Brad's smoking down a hot dog about the size of his leg and grilling it with a Coke Zero, you know, and so he doesn't have a weight problem, you know.
No, he's a skinny boy.
He's a little bitty guy. That's for sure.
But
so.
Yeah, that's to answer your question. We try to eat healthy, but yeah, if there was one place I could have on the road, it'd be Jason's Deli. I like that place.
There you go. Well, Frank, congratulations on your win. We're excited for you. I mean, it was just so cool to watch, so cool to see your family there. And just, I love these events like this where all this stuff comes together, especially for a guy like you. So congratulations on the win, and dude, good luck in your next few events.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I really appreciate y'all having me on, and it means a lot to me. You guys think of me enough to have me on your podcast, because you guys are definitely a shining spot in the industry, and a lot of people talk about y'all's podcast. And so I'm just glad to be a part of it. And thank you for the time that you've given me.
It's usually never a good thing when they're talking about us, Frank, but I appreciate the kind words. And next time we do record on Tuesday, so just tell Bass you got to wait. All right. They got to wait. It's my turn for Tuesday. So next time you get one of these. So, but no.
Thanks, Frank. That sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks again, thank buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Well, guys, there he is, Frank the Tank Tally. I didn't know him very well till tonight, and I'm glad I know him now. I mean, I'm a fan. Great dude. I mean, hell, anybody that gives us a plug like that, I got to pull that soundbite out and use that shit somewhere because, damn, that's the best one yet. So, you know, Van Damme Who, I'm going to use that one, Frank Tally. Thank you, brother. That was awesome. Great dude. Lou Strike King guy. I mean, Thunder Cricket. Did the Blade Menace surprise you a little bit, David? You kind of jumped back a little bit. I saw you.
No, I know that some guys, when it comes to the vibrating jigs, they don't like that paddle tail style. So I prefer throwing, you know, something with more finesse, I guess you could say, with less thump. But no, it was a surprise. But
all right. Well, good. Jason, they surprised you?
Yeah, that was pretty surprising. You know, for him to make that run and get out of all that traffic, you know, he practiced well, even though he said it was terrible. He eliminated the water that wasn't working for him and went and did something completely different, and it definitely paid off to make that long river run. And yeah, that's a unique deal.
Well, I tell you what, when I get back from vacation and I come get your boat, since you don't have a truck yet to use it, I might have to make that little run up there and kind of check out that area up the river and see what it does. So I'll say a quick little break. Well, one, because I'm not here, and two, I got to pee. But taking a quick little break, and when we come back, Jason will run us down to the Costa Countdown to Blast Off, and I'll get back to my vacation, and we'll get you guys back on the water right here on the Angler's Channel Insider Podcast.
Whether day or night, I love to tie one off.
Every day of the week, I like to tie one off.
I don't care who's looking, I always tie one on.
Every time I go on the water, I love to tie one on.
You may not know this about me, but every once in a while, I've been known to tie one on.
Come on, man. Join the Stray King team. All you got to do, tie one on.
I think I always tie one on.
Sportsman's Warehouse is your one-stop convenient place to shop. Whether you're into camping, hunting, or fishing, our expert associates can help you find the gear you need. We carry a huge assortment of quality equipment from the best manufacturers in the country and around the world. We have guns, ammo, rods, and lures, not to mention every kind of outdoor clothing for the whole family. You can shop in one of our fully stocked stores or visit us online at sportsmanswarehouse.com. Visit Sportsman's Warehouse. Shop one of over 60 locations.
Thanks again, folks, for hanging out to this portion of the show where we take a look at this weekend's tournament calendar and let's hashtag see what's out there in the Costa Countdown, the blast off. We are looking for the weekend of the 17th, 18th, but let's jump all the way back to yesterday where the One Bass Tour kicked off at Lake Mead. You know, it's a pretty cool event, Chris. I have always wanted to go out there and fish this event.
You should.
A lot of guys take the time to take great.
If you get time off of work, you should go.
Yeah, you know, I just have to come off of it a little bit. I haven't had the opportunity there, so I want to take that opportunity someday. Let's pick them. I think we need to pick the pro side there, right?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Yeah. Pick the pro side.
Pro side.
Winning weight on the pro side. It's October 12th through the 14th.
So a three-day deal.
What'd you say?
Three-day deal. Okay,
I like Lake Mead. David, we're gonna let you have the honors.
40 pounds.
40 pounds. Okay. All right. I like it. Jason.
Chris.
Oh, I'm gonna go 25. I'm going 25.
Yeah, I'm thinking around 32.
Okay. All right.
Stay in our big bass theme here from last week where all the 6-pounders were catching them. David, your results still this week. I know we don't know them yet, but you're still gauging on 6-pounders are good things to catch this time of year. I'm using you as my stat master, you know.
I would assume you got, unless, well, yeah, because they won't be as big as they were early in the year. So I would say 6-pounder would give you a good chance at least getting 1 hour.
Okay. Well, the Big Bass Tour is headed to Gunnersville this weekend. So 6-pounders swim heavy down at Gunnersville. So, Chris, where do you think the Big Bass Tour is going to take the overall weight? Big fish overall.
Eight.
How
about you?
7.5.
5. I'm going to stick with my advice. 6.5.
6.5.
So that's 6.5, 6.8.
Probably jump in there.
6.5.
Okay. 6.5.
6.5. Yep. Okay. KG will probably sneak in there at, you know, 6.5, 1, you know, like he did last week. So. Okay. Rolling on down the tournament calendar here, we have the Georgia Bass Trail Classic on Seminole. Hope these guys are still fishing this weekend. I know a lot of Georgia COVID stuff got changed around, but hopefully they're making their classic this weekend. Georgia Bass Trail Classic, 2-day event, 17th and 18th, Lake Seminole.
David, you're up. Or Jason, you're up. Sorry.
I'm going to go 22.
I went 34. I jumped out there. So
good job. Okay. And the Carolina Anglers Team Trail guys, any update on them lately, David? Are those guys still fishing this year, or did they take off?
I think most of them are. I think they've come back, if I remember right, David. Is that right?
I think they are. I just haven't checked to see if they've updated their schedules and what the exact schedules were, but I know that they...
Well, their original schedule had them at an invitational this weekend at Smith Mountain Lake, October 18th, Carolina Anglers Team Trails, and those guys fish a lot all over Carolina. We've said before, if you're in the Carolinas, good chance you can find a tournament where they're fishing this weekend. So Smith Mountain Lake Invitational number 7, overall winning weight
28. 1 day,
2 day, right?
Is it 2 day?
It says
18. Sunday, so I think it's a 1 day.
Oh, 13. I'll say 13 and a half.
I'm going to go 17, Jason.
I'm going to go 14. Angler Nation Championship on Hudson, Lake Hudson, Keystone. It's a 2-day event. Angler Nation.
Okay.
Lake Hudson.
2-day on Lake Hudson?
I don't even know where Lake Hudson is.
I don't know, but I'll stay with my 26.
Oklahoma. How about that? Lake Hudson is in Oklahoma. Okay. Thanks to our trusty map. So
what's your pick, Jake?
You said 26?
Yep.
I'm going to go 23.
Okay. Gut says 24.
And then you're going to say next week, we all overguessed. I can just guess it right now.
let's go ahead and pick the Bass Nation Central on Toledo Bend as well.
Oh, okay. Let's definitely do that. Bass Nation Central on Toledo Bend. Chris, go ahead. We'll let you pick first.
I just picked first. 3-day deal. Okay. I just picked first. You pick first.
$48.
David?
$46.
We're close. I went 44. I wrote that down before y'all even guessed, so that's pretty good little deal there. So we'll see how that turns out.
So. Well, and hopefully we all gain enough points this week to push Kenneth a little bit down the line, a little even more. So hopefully he hasn't caught up with us with his guesses from the previous week. So that is the tournament calendar for this week. We've got a bunch more lining up for next week. So you guys hang in there and catch us next week on the Coastal Countdown to Blast Off. Chris, I know you're not technically here, but you are here for the moment. So take us on home.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this sucker up. You wanted to bring up a TikTok deal. What were you talking about earlier?
Yeah, you know, we were talking TikTok earlier in the show, and you know, Morgan Wallen has been blowing up my FYP, hashtag FYP.
You're so
there
retro.
For a day.
He
made
so
the rounds, didn't he?
He did. I didn't see any of it, but I heard.
Oh my gosh!
And Miss Kay said she didn't want to be his PR person last Monday for last. So yeah.
Basically, for those of you that aren't TikTok fans, the way TikTok works is you can film anything you want to film and make it news immediately. Basically,
pretty much.
Well, Morgan Wallen just had a night on the town and was in limos, was in bars, was in all kind of places. And
but wait a minute, you know, wasn't he in Tuscaloosa?
Yep. Let's gonna go there, but had made note that everybody was posting saw Morgan Wallen, so Morgan Wallen, and let's just say he tore up a lot of sugar that night.
A lot of sugar. Wow. 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 Okay. Well, there you go. So
and a Roll Tide. He probably got a Roll Tide in there somewhere. I
about guarantee you he got a Roll Tide in there. That's for sure. So that's for sure. So, well, folks, thanks for tuning in. Listening to this week's Anglers Channel Insider Podcast. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. My favorite podcast app. That goes for all you new listeners and all you old listeners. Still waiting on, because I'm recording this early, still waiting on the hashtag Pumpkin Spice Twinkie Challenge for a Mustang. Long hashtag, but we're going to do it. Hashtag Pumpkin Spice Twinkie eating contest for a Mustang. We're going to keep, keep adding words to it. Keep adding words to it, but still looking for videos for that. So make sure you send those in 256-535-3217. And you can win a brand new Mustang PFD inflatable. That's the podcast hotline brought to you by TrickStep, 256-535-3217. On behalf of our guest tonight, Mr. Frank the Tank Talley, great interview with him. Excited to have him on for the AC Circus. I am Chris Brown, and like my wife always says, only do shit you believe in. Guys, have a great week. God bless. Good fishing. Wash your damn hands. Buckle your damn life jacket. Put your face mask on.
Don't take it personal.
Thanks for listening to the Angler's Channel Insider Podcast, your number one tournament resource.